memorial dinner for in honor of our brother Lavelle, and we're just so happy to have Sister Mary Favors and her family, parts of her family here and some online, as we worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth. We just ask him to have his way, and just wanted to share a brief word with you from scripture in Genesis. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We ask you to have your way and to be glorified in our midst, and we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So Tim preached a great sermon. Tim's online there. That's Tim right here in this box. Tim preached a great sermon some years ago on Jacob wrestling with God at the brook Jabbok before he was about to meet Esau, who had vowed to kill him. Can you imagine such a meeting? By the way, we don't call these stories because these were real life accounts. This really happened. This is not Paramount. This is not Disney Plus. This is not a movie. These events really, really took place. And so Jacob is getting prepared to meet a person that he has cheated. He sold his birthright, which came with 2/3 of his father's inheritance. He sold it for a pot of chili. I think it was Wendy's chili, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever it was red stuff. He sold it to Esau at Esau's behest. And on top of that, in cahoots with his mother, Rebekah, he deceived his blind father and stole the blessing that was also designated for Esau. So Esau is planning to kill him. He has 400 men. How he amassed these men, I don't know. But these 400 guys were probably a militia, perhaps some mercenaries, vigilantes, you know, David's motley crew, like David gathered all the rejects, inmates, fugitives, past prisoners, and they followed David. Well, maybe Esau found such a gathering of men, and they were coming to kill Jacob. And so Jacob did what I hope anybody would do, spend the night in prayer. And let me ask you guys this. How many of you know that when you're facing a crisis in your life, when you're facing a crossroads in your life, when you're facing something that's extremely challenging, how many of you know that prayer should be your first option? Before you call the doctor, before you call a lawyer, before you call a friend, before you phone a friend, before you check with, you know, what the internet says, before you Google it, how many of you know that prayer is always your best first option? Prayer is not, I repeat, I said this in Bible class the other day, prayer is not a Hail Mary. Prayer is not a last resort. Prayer is not what you do when all else have failed. That's how most of us treat prayer. We preach prayer like, you know, if the doctor gives us a bad report, most of us say, oh, well, all we can do now is pray. I imagine God just says, really? Seriously, that's how you treat me? You know, a last ditch effort. I'm your last resort. I would be offended if I'm God. I'm thinking like, oh, so now you need me. Now you want me. No one else has helped you. No one else has given you good news, and now you want to call on me. It's amazing how many times the Lord still answers our prayer in spite of how we treat him. What a mighty God we serve. When we say God is good all the time, that's really true, because there's so many opportunities for the Lord to say, no, I'm done with you. You made me last. You disrespected me. You ignored me. And now you want me to save the day. And God usually, won't he do it? God usually still saves the day. I'm just blown away by how, you know, Ella Beecham, I mean, Ella Beecham and Sister Mary just sang the song that says essentially that, you know, that in spite of all that we do, God still comes through. And in spite of the fact that we pushed him to the back burner, you all with me? Yes. We push him to the back burner, and he still saves the day. I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve, that in spite of our pushing him to the back and making him a last resort, he still comes through. And here's what it says in Lamentations 3 regarding that exact same concept. He starts talking about it. Jeremiah wrote this book. He says, and I remember mine affliction. And he says, then I recall, this is verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's the God we serve. He is so great. His compassions are new every morning. It's like his slate starts over. So let me just read this to you, and then we'll let you go. In Genesis chapter 32, this is this all-night prayer meeting that Jacob had alone with God. It says in chapter 32, verse 24 of Genesis, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. You know, let me just say this really quick as an aside. And I mentioned this in our podcast. You can check it out. I think it's episode 230 of our podcast. I talked about being alone. That's in the Word with WillandMarie.com. You'll find it on YouTube, iTunes, and everywhere else. I talked about this concept of being alone because a lot of us are not always comfortable being alone. And by the way, there is a difference between lonely and being alone. There's a difference. Some people are with thousands and hundreds and dozens of other people, and they're still lonely. There's a difference between the two words. They sound alike, but they have a very different meaning. But the point is that being alone is a good thing at times. Many of us are not comfortable with quiet. Many of us are not comfortable with silence. Many of us are uncomfortable with solitude. We need to learn how to get alone sometimes. Turn off the internet, turn off your phone, turn off the radio, turn off the television, turn off HBO, and just sit down and be quiet for 5 or 10 minutes. Just try a small sample size. I just need to be alone with the Lord. Lord, I just want to talk to you. I don't want to ask for anything. I don't want to beg for anything. I'm not pleading for anything. I just need to speak quiet before you and just listen to you and say thank you and just show my gratitude for who you are and what you are and what you have already done for me. And so Jacob here, the Bible says, is just left alone. All of these people he has around him, servants and wives. Dude had four wives. That's a problem already, but that's for another sermon. Four wives, 12 kids, servants, cattle, stock, probably some other people that are with them, family members, friends. And he said, you know what? I got to do this by myself. Sometimes we just have to do things by ourselves, just us, you and Jesus, just one-on-one, face-to-face, right? Ear-to-ear, heart-to-heart. The Bible says that Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, I'm in verse 25 of Genesis 32, he touched the socket of his thigh so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated when he had wrestled with him. By the way, that left him with a limp, which is an amazing Monday morning moment because Jacob probably never would forget that. The Bible says in verse 26, then he said, this is the Lord speaking. It's unfortunate that in both the King James Version and the New American Standard, that's a capital H for he. It's my humble opinion that that should have been a proper pronoun, capital H representing God, because we know that this is God that Jacob is wrestling with. He says, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not, Jacob said, I'm going to use Jacob and God here because I feel like this is what I would call a theophany or a Christophany. A theophany or a Christophany is just a pre-incarnate manifestation of God in the flesh, or in some cases through an angelic being, but primarily in the flesh, where he makes a pre-incarnate or pre-flesh, pre-human visit to earth to deal with people or situations. And in this particular case, he's dealing with Jacob. But there have been other theophanies. I could consider the burning bush a theophany. I would consider a Christophany, perhaps, when the King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon saw a fourth man walking around in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. And he said, they look like the Son of God, Son of Man. At any rate, here's what it says here. He says, then he said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's one of the things that Tim did so amazing in the sermon that he preached for us on this topic some years ago. And so in verse 7, so God said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, this is Jacob said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. I'm going to just stop right there because I'm going to just do part two next week. Let me just comment on this part here. This reminds me of a line from Breaking Bad. You know, Walter White says, say my name. I know if you haven't seen the series, I won't blow it. I won't mess it up. And it was just an amazing particular episode because his name was relevant to what he was doing. And in this particular case, Jacob's name is important. And so God asked him, what is your name? And the reason I think that's important for us this morning is because I believe what God was saying was God knew his name. By the way, when God asks us questions, he's kind of like a prosecutor or a defense attorney. No good attorney asks a question in court that they don't already know the answer to. You don't want a surprise in court, right? So your questions are rehearsed, your answers are rehearsed, and you know what you're going to get when you ask it because you want the jury or whatever to hear. Do you guys know that I got called for jury duty again? Just an aside. I'm just getting tired of this. Somebody said, well, you should just not register to vote anymore. Well, I got to vote. Too many black people died for me to vote. I'm going to keep voting, but I am tired of getting called to jury duty. So would anybody like to take my turn for jury duty? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. All right. Great, sir. Okay. You're too young. Brother Cole said he will. But at any rate, that's an aside. But I got called for jury duty again, and I thought you weren't supposed to get called in less than 2 years. And so I had to fight it, and in their defense, they did excuse me. So, but I just don't like jury duty. But I'm glad people do it. I know some of you have been on jury several times, and God bless you. Thank you for your civil service. Thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for taking my place. So he asked, so the Lord asked Jacob a question that any defense attorney or prosecutor would know the answer to before he asked, and that is, Jacob, what is your name? What is your name? He didn't say Jacob. He said, what is your name? And here's what that meant, and I'm going to close with this because this is really important. What God was asking Jacob was not, he knew his name. He knew who he's talking to. He knew Jacob knew his name. That wasn't the heart of the question. The question was, are you the same guy that you have been? Are you still Jacob acting? Are you still like, Jacob means in Hebrew, it means supplanter or heel catcher, or to put it in plain English, it means con man or cheater, trickster. If you're old enough, you would know this term, flim flam man. This dude was just a con artist. He was out to rip off anybody he could. And so what God was saying was, are you still that guy? That's the question for us this morning. Are we still who we used to be? Or are we becoming who God has created us to be? Are we still that person? Are we still acting like, looking like, sounding like, thinking like the old man? I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away and all things have become new. Amen? In other words, he's saying, Jacob, you cannot be who you used to be. You can't go around conning people, conniving, cheating, tricking, being unreliable, having no integrity. So he's basically saying, is this you? What is your name? What is your nature? What are you now? Have you changed? Are you willing to change? Now, I know that the change wasn't instantaneous, because as soon as he made this wrestling match with God and appeared to prevail, later on, not too many verses, certainly in chapter 33, when he did meet up with Esau, he lied to Esau, because Esau wanted him to go this way, and he went the other way. So all of his nature hadn't changed yet, but he was in the process. And there's this great passage in Corinthians that tells us about this journey that we're on, about us becoming more and more like Jesus every day. As it relates to Jacob, here's this. Let me just give you this one verse, if I can find it here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Here's the key that I wanted everyone to hear. Before I sit down, I want you to hear this. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. The verse before that, where it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So what Paul is saying and what the Lord is saying to Jacob is, I'm changing your name right now from Jacob, meaning cheater, to Israel, meaning being ruled by God. And Israel has a complicated definition. A lot of Bible expositors don't all agree on the proper definition of the word Israel or the name Israel in Hebrew, but probably a good working definition of it is, let God prevail. Jacob's old name was, I will prevail. I will do my thing. I will be Frank Sinatra. I want it my way. But God says, no, I'm changing things from your way, Jacob, to Israel, where you do things my way. And I prevail over you. I rule over you. So he said, now I want you to say your name. And he said, I'm Jacob now, but I'm willing to be changed to Israel. I'm willing to go from being a cheater to being owned and operated by you. That's why I love that song. I love that song that we sang, you know, that I want to do it God's way, that Jesus, lover, that I want to submit to him, and that I want him to be in charge of my life. Amen? Amen. What a beautiful lesson. May we grow. May we become. May we not only, since the Lord has changed our name, may we yield to him so that he changes our nature in every way. Every way. I'm going to finish this next week because I want to talk about the wrestling match itself. But I just thought that name thing, that name is so relevant, because our name defines us. Maybe not today as much as then, but the name defines how we're perceived, how we act. How do we live up to our name? Do we live above our name? Do we live up to the name that the Lord has given us? That is, we are named after him. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. God is so good. Before I sit down, before we have Ella Tim get prayer, anyone have any question on that, on this particular